Romans 5, verse 12 through 21. That's Romans 5, 12 through 21. And what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to, kind of like a teaching somewhat, maybe a little preaching, but it's a more of a teaching series on, and you guys may have not heard this term, and for it's over with, hopefully you'll kind of understand what this term is, and it's called progressive Christianity. And if you weren't here last week, I post the sermon on the website, and one of my websites I created, and you can go up to that website and listen to it if you weren't able to make it, so to get the full understanding of what progressive Christianity is. It's Wake Up Church, Wake Up Church America Ministries. And yeah, you know, I've been recording these and putting them on my website, so you know, it's just getting the word out, and just, you know, to whoever out there, wherever they're out there, they can listen to these messages. Because the thing with progressive Christianity, it is not truly being preached in the pulpits. And as a preacher and as a man of God, as we are supposed to warn others when we see things, they're infecting the church, especially here in America, to call it out and to warn that if you're listening to somebody on Facebook, or if you're listening, all of, you can look up sermons left and right now from anywhere, and you can listen to any preacher online, is to recognize, yeah, you can listen to them, but recognize where they're coming from, if they're proclaiming something different than what the gospel has for us. Are they preaching another gospel? So the key is to pick up on that. And if you go visit another church and you're in that church and you're listening to that preacher up there, and you should be aware what he says, if it's lining up with Scripture or if he's preaching another gospel. So that is really the heart and soul of this teaching series. And today we're going to look at Romans 5, 12 through 21. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imparted when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even after them that have sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But now is the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many, of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by the grace of God, and the gift by God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness are reigned in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men into justification of life. Whereas by one man, disobedience, many were sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, and wherein, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned until death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today in your presence, lifting our hearts up to you. You know where we are in our mind. You know where we stand today. God, I pray that our hearts are open, our ears are receptive to this message that is lodged into our hearts, and we draw strength from it. There's one here today that truly has not committed themselves to Jesus Christ. Lord, let this be the day. Just where they're at, they don't have to announce anything, but just committing themselves to you. Truly to stand in the Word of God. They have counted the cost, knowing that this walk can be hard, but it's okay in the end. The blessing of eternal life is so beautiful. Our suffering is just temporary in this world. It's brief. It's gone in a blink of an eye. You tell us life is just like a vapor. It's so fast. Eternity is forever. God, I pray that you just be with me as I preach on this word today. That you guide and you direct my steps. You give me the words to say. Provide the wisdom that you need me to have. Lord, I pray over our prayer list, those that are called by name and the unspoken, we lift them up to you, God. I pray that you know what's going on with each and every one of them. We uplift them to you with tears in our eyes, knowing that you are in control. Sometimes we don't understand the things that happens in this life. May not understand in this lifetime, but the next. But we know we need to put that trust in you and keep on pressing forward even when it hurts. God, I pray that you just once again, that you just guide and you direct this service. And let your will be done as we claim the truth of the gospel. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, last week, when we hit part one, about progressive Christianity. And progressive Christianity, they may change the name again, because I'm hoping more people will get up here and start preaching on it, and the devil might realize, hey, I need to change the name now, because now they're catching on to my tricks. But one way to recognize a progressive Christianity, a progressive church, a progressive congregation is their view of scriptures, the view of the Bible. They will typically have a lower view of the Word of God. You will hear them say things like, the Bible is just a human book. I disagree with Apostle Paul on that issue. And I've heard this before. And the Bible condemns immorality, so we are obligated to reject what it says in certain places. Sexual morality is still a sin, regardless how the culture says it isn't. What they will do, they will make compromises. They will get a black marker and start marking out parts that don't fit them. For example, female pastors. A woman has a place in the church, but it's not behind this pulpit. It's not. And that's not me being mean. It's me speaking from the Word of God. When you flip over to Timothy and Titus, which gives the qualifications of who's supposed to be in behind the pulpit, you can't make that work. And that's a lot of times they say, well, you know, Paul wasn't correct. Or Paul, that was a different time. Those don't apply today. I guarantee you it applies today. If it didn't, it would not be included in the Word of God. In saying that, women have a beautiful part in the ministry with children and other women. And in some of the ministry is like my wife being behind me and supporting me. That's a great ministry as a preacher, because I'll have hard days. And I come home, my wife, she comforts me. She's my helpmate. And that's a great ministry. So it's not short-telling, and God is not being mean. He is trying to tell us, don't do that, because this is how it works. How the church is supposed to function. And when the church is functioning the way it's through Scripture, then it will perform the way it needs to in that world, in the direction, that light that should shine. So we need to understand and recognize that a progressive Christian church, they will say that these parts are out of date. They are no longer important. And last week I used that word, historical Christianity. And they will say, we go against the historical Christianity, that movement. And I don't like using the word historical Christianity, but it's basically what it means is that the old ways, the old things of the Bible, they need to change. Because we are progressive. And when you talk about progressive, it's a movement that wants to they want to get rid of the old ways, inject their new ways into it. So that's how they justify. And today I want to speak on one of these areas that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. And what it is we could say the doctrine of sin, or you can look at it as the law of sin. In Romans 5, 12 to 14 says this, therefore, as by one man sin entering into the world, death by sin, so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imparted where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, the fear of him that was to come. Adam. It starts in Genesis. Salvation starts in Genesis, right? You have this garden, and I spoke on this many times, but this is key to salvation, to understand sin. You see, a progressive thought will say we do not need to worry about that word sin, or you will see them substitute the word sin for, we all make mistakes, and I understand we do make mistakes. But are you trying to water down that word sin by saying mistakes? Are you? That would be my question to them. Sin is still sin. Don't water it down. And when we look at the Garden of Eden, we know that God created Adam, the first man. Now, there's a lot of crazy ideals out there. I do a lot of reading. I just try to stay informed because I can keep you guys informed. Some will say there was a race before Adam. No. If there was, it would be in our Bible. There was no race before Adam. God created the first man, it tells us in Genesis, and he named him Adam. You know, Adam means dirt man. He created him from the dirt. And they will tell you that this race, it was aliens. Yeah. And there was an alien race. And then they said, well, you know, we're seeing all these sightings around aliens here and aliens there. I'll tell you, what they're seeing is not aliens. I believe it's a manifestation of the spiritual realm being seen. They're actually seeing demonic activity. But they're trying to grasp their mind around it. They call it aliens. They're just getting a glimpse because we are getting so wicked in our nation. And there are cults, satanic and witch cults. All witchcraft is against the God, is against God. There is no such thing as white magic. They try to put a label on it to make it look like it's innocent. It is all witchcraft. And there are witches and satanic cults praying for hell to be manifest on earth and that they could physically see it. And I believe that is what's being seen when we're seeing, oh, there's an alien there, and there's, you know, we're seeing these lights in the sky. But there's no such thing as aliens, although it makes for good sci-fi movies. But that's all it is. It's not included in the Word of God, so we have to submit it. And God created Adam. And when He created Adam, He told Adam this. Find where my notes are at on there. Skip the part there. Here it is. Genesis 2, 8 through 17. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed, one man, singular, who He had formed. God formed this man, one man. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst, that's the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to the water, the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, which is compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. There is Jelen, and Jelen means jewels and crystals. And Enox, stones. And the name of the second river is called Dihon. Same is compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hanakim, that is, which is gone toward to the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord told the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. He told him, dress it, keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely of. Eat freely, freely eat. But as of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, God created this beautiful garden. And it says gold. And it says beautiful crystals. It was beautiful. And He took man and He placed him in that garden and said, take care of this garden, this paradise that I have created for you. And I have created these beautiful trees. I know we can have some beautiful trees today. But these trees that we have today cannot compare to what Adam placed his eyes on. But He said there's one tree in that middle of that garden. You should not eat of this tree. That was a commandment from God. One commandment. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. You will die. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And later on, we find out that He created woman. Later, Adam calls her Eve. And they are supposed to live in this paradise. no pain, no worries, no depression, no anxiety. Somewhere the communication got crossed. In Genesis 3, we read the tragic story of the deception. How he deceived Eve and Adam. It's sad to look at it. I'll read over it. This was beautiful. This was a paradise. Is paradise lost because they disobeyed God's commandment. Genesis 3:6 says, the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it to her husband with her who did eat. You understand the words here. She gave to her husband with her. With her. Adam was right there watching it all take place. Watching his wife being deceived and not saying nothing. And when she took of it, she gave that fruit to Adam, and he did not rebuke her. He did not correct her. He did it. Just did it and ate. And when he took that bite, that is when sin came into this world. The disobedience of Adam. And before we get to pointing fingers at Adam, us men, how are we with our families? Are we the prayer leaders of our families? Do we seek God daily through prayer and reading our Bibles? Do we do Bible studies in our homes? We're supposed to. And all my young ladies out there, I encourage you guys to seek men. They are more driven by studying the Word of God. They are driven to be successful in this world. Because if you have a man that is driven by the seeking God more, he will love you more than what you can imagine. A man that wants to come to church with you. A man who wants to read the Bible with you. A man who wants to pray with you. Praying together as a family is beautiful. Praying together as a couple is beautiful. Restraining from intimacy before marriage is beautiful. It's in the confines of God's design. But you have this deception. You have what we call this fall of man. The fall of man. The original sin. You'll hear that word fall of man, original sin. That's where it comes from. That curse was implemented on this world. Part of this was Genesis 3:16-24 says, until the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow and thy conception and sorrow that will bring forth children. Thy desire shall be thy husband. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the wife of thy the voice of thy wife that has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for that sake, and sorrow shall thou eat for it all the days of your life. The thorns also, the thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb in the field, and the sweat of thy face. Thou shalt eat bread, thou shalt return to the ground, for out of it which I have taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also his wife, the Lord God made coats of skin, clothe him. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. They were cursed. They were removed. And what's very important to understand here is when that sin happened, blood had to be spilt. See, death occurred when he says, surely die. What was that meaning? You see, there's two deaths that occurred. The physical death and the spiritual death. You see, when they took of that fruit, the aging process began. That's why we get older now. If you look at the cosmetic and health and fitness industry, which is worth billions of dollars, they're always about trying to slowing down the aging process. Take this supplement. God knew. If he left the garden wide open, Adam and Eve would go up there and get that fruit so they could live forever. Because then, what is it? We want to live forever. The world wants to live forever. Physical death, we cannot escape regardless how we try to. Now, I'm all about taking care of yourself. But when we try to exalt ourselves above God and try to escape that physical death, it comes for us all. We do not know when our time is up. We could walk out them doors, get hit by a vehicle. We could lay our heads down tonight and not wake up. Physical death. The aging. Spiritual death. Spiritual death. That is a death. That separation. That broken fellowship with God. See, we do not have to experience a spiritual death. None of us. See, spiritual death occurred. That's why God had to kill animals. The blood of the animals had to be spilt. And if you keep on reading through the Old Testament, it points to the sacrificial system that was set up. It was imperfect, but it was only temporary. See, even though Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, he was still full of grace and mercy to kill an animal, to clothe them with his hands. But they still had to, because he's a holy God, right? He is a righteous God. He had to send them away from that garden. And he had, because he's a holy God, he said, now women, when they give birth, they will suffer. They will feel that pain. And men, as we work, and today is so corrupted, now women have to work too. So that's just more of the design of the devil to attack the family. But really, a woman is supposed to be a helpmate to the husband. But we're so far removed, and the woman now has to work too. It wasn't God's design. It's all about the curse increasing, increasing, increasing. To a point, God is going to judge this world. But that curse, that spiritual death, we do not have to experience that spiritual death. It points, the whole sacrificial system points to Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15 says this: I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. That was the first prophetic announcement of the coming one day of Jesus Christ. And today we have that fulfillment. God sent Jesus Christ down to this earth. He was the Lamb with no sin. Get this. Jesus did not have no sin. Progressive Christianity will tell you that Jesus had sin. He was sinless. Why? Because he had to be that perfect Lamb that had to be slain, that had to feel that pain at the cross. The blood that was spilt on that day, he felt every bit of it because he was human. The agony that he experienced is nothing that we will ever experience in this world. He suffered greatly because of sin. We are sinners. It's through the grace of God. It's through the mercy of God we recognize that we are sinners and we need a Savior. We are spiritually dead until we come to the realization that we need a Savior. We need somebody to rescue us from our own selves. Thank God for that. Thank His holy name for Jesus Christ, the blood. Well, the shedding of blood in Hebrews 9:22 tells us there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sin. Blood had to be spilled, but perfect blood was spilled by Jesus Christ, the atonement. And when we come to Jesus where we're at and we commit our lives to Him and we recognize that blood that was spilled and we recognize the resurrection and we recognize that He's coming back, we commit our lives to Him fully. And the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Guides us and directs us. It is the Spirit of truth that directs our lives. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given unto man, thereby we must be saved. The only name that will save us is the name of Jesus Christ. What you have today in the progressive movement, they will tell you there's multiple ways to get to God. But the Bible is very clear. You only can come through in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, you have to go through my Father. You cannot go and find God through Hinduism, Buddhism, Chinese Eastern mystic religions. There's like over 4,000 religions. Over 4,000. That's why Christianity gets a bad name, because we said there's only one way. And like, no, no, no. Guess what, Oprah, you're wrong. Our Bible's right. Guess what, Joel Osteen, you're wrong. Our Bible's right. And I can keep on going on the list on those mega pastors out there that will say there's many ways. Many ways to get to heaven. There's only one. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed is for us to recognize and to commit. And when we commit our lives, we count the cost, right? People will stop salvation at that point and say, oh, it's all good. You just said this little prayer, now you're saved. Go and have fun. Ain't that's not how it works. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says, then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up this cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God. Romans 6:26, for the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ over our Lord. Over, I can keep on going scripture. Once you commit your life to Jesus, we are no longer under the power of sin. He breaks those. We're no longer under the penalty of sin because He frees us. And one day He's coming back and we will no longer be in the presence of sin and this evil. That doesn't give us a license to go out there and sin. It means that now we are the children of God. We recognize the blood and we say we are going to be separate from this world. We will die daily to our flesh. We have to die daily and we have to crucify our flesh daily. As we talk about being crucified, that's strong. That's painful. To live a true Christian life from our perspective is painful. But it will never be as painful on what Jesus experienced at the cross. We have to crucify our flesh daily. We should not be happy with living in our immorality, in our sin. Sin is sin. No matter how you want to paint it, how you want to justify it, when we sin, our conviction should be, we should feel that conviction in our hearts. We don't say, oh, well, whatever. Well, it's a popular term now is, I was born this way. Lady Gaga, y'all may know who she is. She's crazy. She says, we were born this way, but the thing is, they have not found a gene to support homosexuality, and they never will. Because you're not born that way, that is a choice. It's a wrong choice, but it is a choice. Not mean that some people may struggle with that, because I struggle with sin too. Homosexuality is no different than a man looking at a woman and thinking impure thoughts, or a woman looking at a man thinking impure thoughts. It's all sin. Preachers are getting in trouble because they're categorizing it. Sin is sin. God died for all of it. Don't mean we will not struggle because we still have flesh, but Jesus says we can overcome it. We don't let it overcome us. The doctrine of sin. In closing, progressive Christianity. You can look it up. It's the new way of Christianity, I believe. Even though they may change the name of it, it will be the dominant Christianity. It's false. That will be dominating the world, well, America, in the last days, it will snuff out historical Christianity as much as it can. They have a lower view of the Bible. Easy to find out that this, it's not hard. When you're informed, when you're educated, when you go into a church, you can go up to a deacon, or you can go up to a pastor or a Bible teacher or even a member, and you can ask them questions. What is your view on the Bible? How do you feel about female pastors? Do you believe that the Scriptures was inspired by the Holy Ghost and man to pen? What do you believe when Paul says these are the qualifications of a person behind the pulpit? When they say, oh, you know, he's not quite right there. That was a different time. Be aware. And I promise you, it's out there. It's even in surrounding churches in our areas. They've been compromising, they're compromising, they're compromising. What Paul wrote still applies today. It does not change. We have to look at all the writing in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. All of it points to Jesus Christ. And we have to understand the law of sin and the doctrine of sin. We have to understand that what happened at the garden. We have to understand what happened. It was a tragedy. A beautiful garden. A paradise. A paradise lost. Now we experience all the curse of this world, even though we are, and I pray that we all have committed our life to Christ, but we have to experience the sting of this world. We have to experience the pain of this world. We have to experience loss in this world. And yes, it sucks. It does. My heart hurts. I see people suffering. I see children going hungry. Got a couple friends in India. They send me pictures of kids starving. It hurts. But it's not God's fault. It's the curse. There's children going hungry in America right now. It hurts. So I understand that I'm going to get up here and try to explain it to you. All I know is God's got it. All I can tell you that we're under a sin. All I can tell you, it's not God's fault. It's not His fault. It's our fault. What happened in the Garden of Eden? The sin that took place. All I know is God could have ended it right then and there, but He didn't. And that's why He sent Jesus Christ down here. So we can come where we're at now in our time of need, our time of pain. We can give it to Him. We may not understand what we're going through at the moment, but just give it to Him. We have to understand the doctrine of sin. Because we have to understand it's through that sin that we need a Savior. It's through our sins that we need somebody to rescue us. It's through Jesus Christ we cannot walk through this world without Him. That hole that fills those out there that do not truly know who Jesus is. The depression, the anxiety that is exponential numbers growing. They're trying to fill a hole. And I can only tell you, somebody that has suffered greatly from depression and The only hole that will fill that void, fills mine, is Jesus Christ. And I pray that this message was helpful and that you guys can kind of get a grasp of what progressive Christianity is. And I'm going to post this on my website, and part one is on there too. And the Holy Spirit's not done with this. We'll go a little bit more into it. What I want to do is to inform you guys. When you're listening to somebody on the internet, or when you're visiting another church, all right, when you're seeking a partner for life, where do they lay in the scriptures? Are they progressive? When you're in listening to a sermon from a preacher, is he progressive? I guarantee you can listen to enough of them sermons and figure it out. As we have a verse or two invitation, I want to encourage you guys today, just take this message. Hopefully it was educational.